Hello, listeners. You're once again very welcome to this, the podcast of the Irish Wood and Interiors Network. Don't forget to check us out on the web at www.iwin.ie. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Nigel Irvine, who is the founder and managing director of Specialist Export Solutions Limited. Nigel has spent over 30 years actively developing the export markets for a range of manufacturing companies. He now assists Irish SMEs plan for and execute their export-driven growth initiatives. So, Nigel, thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me this morning. We're going to have a little chat about export. And one of the things that strikes me is, why should a company consider exporting? I mean, they might have a very good home market. What could be some of the reasons for considering export?
Okay, thanks, William. Yeah, there are a number of reasons why a company could or should consider exporting. And it's really determined by the type of product it has or the type of service it delivers. Usually what we find is a company is considering exporting if it is in a very competitive marketplace. If there are competitors, local competitors around it, who have saturated the market and there is a limited growth potential on a local level. Okay? So they're basically trying to generate more business in terms of business development, and they have a product which is available to sell, and they just have to find the market for that. Okay? So primarily it's local competition. Another reason perhaps is they have excess capacity within their manufacturing operation or their service provision, where they're physically able to do a lot more than they're actually producing at the minute. So they have the opportunity to sell more, okay? The product isn't a problem, or providing a service isn't a problem. They're just looking for an opportunity to sell more of those items. Another reason would be, if it was a manufacturing operation, is they are perhaps looking for economies of scale, where pricing is possibly becoming an issue. There is some pressure on the margin for their products, and they have to generate economies of scale to improve the profitability of their operation, to reduce their production costs and improve the profitability of the operation. And finally, one other aspect perhaps is maybe they have a product or service which there is a hotspot. It's called a hotspot internationally, where there is a market or a sector which is absolutely crying out for the product or solution that they offer. And they want to capitalize on the fact that there is a hotspot out there for their product. So there's a number of reasons. It could be a combination of those. It may be one entirely, but it really just depends on the operation of the company itself and the goals and the aspirations as to why it should or needs to export its product or service.
Okay, just interesting in terms of maybe having the ability to manufacture and then trying to find a market for it. So how could a company go about assessing a possible export opportunity? I mean, they've seen something. What kind of list should they go through at looking at it?
Yeah, there's quite a structured process. I mean, exporting has been around for many, many, many hundreds of years in terms of products and services. And what we generally find is that if you follow a set process, you don't have to follow it too rigidly, but it has been done in the past and done successfully in the past. So in terms of assessing whether there's an opportunity or not, the company really has to figure out what its goals and aspirations are. Okay, is it able to go after an export opportunity if there's one out there? And does it really want to? Has it got the time and the skills to do that? So to assess the actual export opportunity itself, it needs to look at its domestic market and how that compares to the international market for that product or service. On the domestic level, is there a growth potential at home, or is the growth potential abroad much higher? Okay, and they can jump onto that opportunity. In terms of the product that it gives, are there other companies locally that are exporting already? Okay, they have a similar product, okay, and they're already going out and exporting to different markets. If that is the case, then what is the product that they're utilizing for the export, and where are they actually sending it to? Where are the target markets? Okay, so in terms of doing an initial assessment, you look at your home market, how your business fits into that home market, and then to see if there are any other exporters in your home market that you can compare to.
Okay, interesting. Just in terms of where to start, I mean, geographically, should you start somewhere that's close to you, or what are the kind of factors that would decide whereabouts you're going to export to?
Yeah, probably the most important factor is to figure out where it is easy to do business first. It may not be the market which has the huge growth potential. It may in fact be a market that is actually easy to do business in. And being easy to do business in and with relates on a number of factors. The first primarily is language. What we find is being English speaking, companies will utilize the use of the English language and focus on those markets, be it USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, even into Europe, where English may be a very common language, for example, in Netherlands or Belgium or Scandinavia. So the ease of doing business really relates to our ability to communicate with the customers in that market. Okay, so number one is the language. Number two is probably related to the product in terms of any certifications that are required, quality certifications, manufacturing certifications, or safety certifications that may or may not be required in order to enter that market. Okay. Then the next one is the potential for growth. Okay. It may be a huge market with a small potential of growth, and there may already be a lot of players in there. So it's actually quite competitive. Okay. It's not usually very good to enter a competitive market first off. It's usually better if you go into a less mature market with your product and service. So you're actually able to have a bit of a learning curve in terms of what you produce, how you manufacture it for shipping, taking care of the logistics that are required in terms of packing the material or transporting the material and getting it into the actual country itself in terms of duties and taxes and landed costs, local landed costs. So in terms of deciding where to start, it rests on a number of factors. And the first one being, how easy is it to do business with that particular market?
Just on that, if we're saying where do we start, and we're saying not necessarily, you know, with the biggest potential. If you're going in somewhere, if you're only dipping your toe in the water, or if you're a beginner, it makes sense to start somewhere that's easy to understand and easy to do business. And then when you've, as you say, you've gone through a bit of a learning curve, then you can take the next step. Would that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what we find is people get into exporting, or companies get into exporting, almost by accident to start off with. They have a product and they have a service, and they may go to a show or a trade event, and customers actually come up and say, oh, I want some of your product. And that is usually how it gets started. Okay, so in terms of communicating with the customer, they're obviously there and they're able to communicate. Okay, a customer, an opportunity arises, and then that company jumps on that opportunity. And that's usually how companies start on their export journey. But if you're sitting down to plan it, okay, there are a number of ways that you can enter the market in terms of doing your preparation, looking at the market, the competitiveness, how easy it is to do business, what are the regulations and controls for entering the market, and then obviously for supporting your product once it gets there in terms of, do you have a network, a B2B or a B2C, a business-to-business, or a direct business-to-client operation there in terms of the business model. Okay, so biggest isn't necessarily the best. Okay, ease of doing business is usually the primary deciding factor in terms of where to go first.
Okay, you've made an interesting point that's, you know, about the research that you need to carry out before you go in somewhere. But one of them that you've just hit on is, you know, about installation or after sales support. it's something you'd have to be mindful of, because it, you know, the further something is away from you geographically, possibly the more difficult it is to manage. Would that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. And it very much depends on the product or service that you are providing. If you're manufacturing a product, a technical product, and you want to get into the export market, obviously you really do have to consider what happens when the product breaks down. Okay, things happen. Okay, we all know that products are not 100% reliable 100% of the time. Customer satisfaction is obviously crucial when you're entering a new market, and you have to make sure, the company has to make sure, that they're able to provide a service to the client who has purchased their product. And that service is, it could be helping them to grow their business, or actually sorting out problems with the product should they arise in whatever the application may be in that local market. And that is really determined by the business model that the company will operate in that market. And there are two main types of business model. One is a business-to-business or a B2B business model, where you will appoint an agent or a dealer or a distributor to import the product on your behalf, then sell it on to the end user, and they provide the after-sale service. And they basically represent you in that marketplace. The other business model is the business-to-client or business-to-customer. That's the B2C. And that's a direct relationship from the company here in Ireland to the client, wherever they may be, in whatever market it is. And there's no in-between. There's no organization set up to deal with any inquiries or complaints or levels of customer service or satisfaction. That has to happen by your company itself. Okay? And that's very much more a direct route and direct communication with the client. So that has to be a key consideration in terms of how you enter the market, how you maintain product reputation, and obviously the brand representation that will come after that.
Just again, in terms of business to business and business to customer, you know, they're kind of two different require two different sort of levels of commitment, if you will, or resources. So what kinds of questions should you be asking when you're formulating an export plan?
Yeah, in terms of the business model, when you're formulating the export plan, it really is dependent on deciding on the model, really depends on the product or the service and how much money and resources your company has to support that product or service internationally. Okay, the simplest and easiest way of doing things, usually, if it's a product or service, is to appoint a local representative in that country, or have a cluster of countries which are represented by that one operation. In terms of the resources that you would require, they're a lot less in supporting one importing customer, be that a B2B customer, okay, a dealer or a distributor. The resources that you require are a lot less in terms of handling inquiries, training, safety, certification, all of those logistical, shall we say, requirements. So if you want to get out there quickly, okay, the easiest way to do it is to set up a distribution network. Okay, dealing directly with clients requires you to have a lot more sophistication in terms of your response, language capability, for example. If English isn't the first language, do you have people within your own company who are able to handle even the simplest of inquiries in whatever language, be it French, German, Spanish, Chinese, whatever it happens to be? Do you have that resource in-house so you're able even just to handle the most basic of inquiries?
Just on that as well, just comes to me, is there scope, or have you seen in the past, businesses that have begun exporting, you know, with a partnership or an agent abroad, and then have moved on to take it over themselves?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's just part of the standard progression in terms of the maturity of an operation. It's always easier to go out and appoint an importer, Okay. And then depending on where you were, the company, what its goals and aspirations are, they then perhaps would buy over that importer or start up their own operation locally in that country. Okay. And it would become an extension of the home company in the home market. They would have a branch. It's usually called a company branch or a company operation in whatever country is involved. So that generally is a standard progression. Okay, as the company gets bigger itself, it produces more, and then it wants to take over more of the value chain in terms of getting its product to the end user. And having a local branch in the country owned by the operation itself is part of that progression.
Okay, and are there any sort of websites or businesses or resources that I could look up in Ireland that would be of use?
Absolutely, yeah. We're very fortunate in Ireland to have several organizations which are now extremely focused on developing the export business for OEMs and small businesses, SMEs in Ireland. Okay, there are a number, depending on the size of your company, your operation, probably the first port of call is the local enterprise offices, the LEOs. Okay, and they are specifically set up to help small companies, usually with 10 or less than 10 employees. Okay, so quite small companies, and they have a range of programs there to help to develop a company, start to think about exporting, and then tentatively to generate an export plan or to start to export. As the companies get bigger, generally above 10 employees, they will then transfer over to Enterprise Ireland. Okay, and Enterprise Ireland have quite a lot of programs available to help companies really get into exporting in terms of developing markets, discovering markets, preparing companies to enter those markets, and then actually getting business underway. Okay, there's another organization primarily based in north and south on the island here, and that's Intertrade Ireland. And they are set up to generate and promote business south, north, and north, south. Okay, so they have a number of programs which can help a company of any size look and seek business north or south of the border. So, fortunately, there is an excellent emphasis on exporting, and the results quite recently are in terms of Ireland as an exporting company, the results are really coming through here now. It's quite phenomenal in terms of the growth in exports over the last 2 years, certainly. Brexit was a factor in that, in terms of opening everybody's eyes to markets outside of GB, outside of the UK, and to try and get companies to export more into Europe and more products further afield as well. So it was primarily provoked by Brexit, okay? And the programs that are there to assist small, medium, and large companies are quite extensive. And it's through the LEOs, through Enterprise Ireland, and through Intertrade Ireland. Any of their websites have specifically devoted sections to exporting and how to start exporting. So if you wanted to do a little bit of prep work, go into any of those three and contact your local LEO office or your local Enterprise Ireland advisor, your local DA there, and they should be able to point you in the right direction.
I think there was a lot of work done in the lead up to Brexit to get people prepared for this kind of thing, you know. While I have you there, Nigel, could I ask you just one more question, which would be, you have a huge amount of experience. I mean, you're at this nearly 30 years, I think. Have you seen anything interesting, or would you be aware of any pitfalls or these kind of things that people should watch out for?
Yeah, well, my background for over 30 years, I've been in business development, national and primarily international business development, with a range of companies. And what I've found over those 30 years is, the first thing you have to do is to start to do it. Don't overanalyze things, really. It's good to have a plan. It's important to have a plan and to have an idea and to actually realize what you want to achieve from exporting. But the next thing then is to go out and do it. OK, okay, to turn it in, to turn thoughts into actions. Okay. And it's usually better, and I'll say usually better, it's usually better to go out there and do something, okay, even though it might only be 80% successful of what you want to happen, rather than to sit back and think and overanalyze the situation. So what I've found over the 30-odd years is actually going out and doing it, starting it, is the quickest and easiest way to start learning and to start experiencing the trials and tribulations of exporting. Generally, people are a little scared of exporting, of stepping out. They think of the financial risks, the payment risks, the currency risks, all of those risks. But they are no worse in reality than a company just dealing internally within its own country. The risks are generally the same. It's how you plan for and how you mitigate and minimize those risks that will actually be the difference, okay, in success or failure. Good business is good business. Bad business is bad business. It's how you cope and manage and steer your operation through the normal trials and the normal pitfalls of general day-to-day business. How you do that will determine whether you're successful locally on a national level and whether you're successful internationally on an international level.
Okay, now it's an interesting point, because I know some people are very gung-ho and they go in completely with no plan, and then other people have a great idea, they have a fairly good plan, but they just don't have the confidence to go and execute it, which is again why I was going back saying about the having an agent abroad. It could be an in, a way to, you know, for somebody who's never been involved in export, it could be a way to dip their toe in the water to maybe get rid of some of that apprehension that they might have.
Absolutely, because that local representative knows their market better than you would. No amount of research or preparation will prepare you in terms of what your understanding is for that market. However, a local representative who has been in that market for a number of years or whatever knows exactly what is involved, what the dynamic is in that market, who the movers and shakers are, who you should be contacting and what clients should be targeted. So starting off with an agent or a dealer or a national importer is certainly the safest and probably the quickest and possibly the cheapest way of entering new markets.
Okay, well, Nigel, it was great to get that information. And I have to say again, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. It's been great and much appreciated.
Thank you, William, for the opportunity. It's been great.